I remember at that point where he was about to go home, back to the airport, and he was saying his goodbyes, and I remember just feeling like there was something really wrong. As a woman, we get that women's intuition. We kind of can pick up on things a lot, and I couldn't put my finger on it, you know, being so young, but I just remember feeling that, and so much so that I remember my eyes just being stuck on the taxi as it drove out of the driveway, down the road, around the corner and out of sight. And that was the last time I saw my dad again until I was 16.
Today, we're going to meet an old friend. We're going to meet a new friend. We're going to share how two friends became friends, and we're going to do it very friendly. Hi, and welcome to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. I'm Byron Tyler here on the Bot Radio Network. I first met Thomas Mann back in the early 1980s. Neither of us were married at the time.
No.
We started working in commercial radio close to the same time. Tom's picture is hanging on our office wall, commemorating the very first day that Bot Radio Network went on the air on December 1986, mm-hmm. And he's in the studio now. Tom, yeah. Man, I can't believe we're actually doing a show together.
It's been a long time. This has been 1986 to now, at least.
Goodness, yeah. So much has happened.
And tons.
Career-wise, for
we're
you.
Old.
I'm Paul, just 9 years
Paul,
old.
I'm a pawpaw.
Pawpaw.
I'm a pawpaw.
I'm a poppy.
You're a poppy. I'm a pawpaw of a six right now.
We don't want to go any further without introducing Danny Sennett, yes. Who is with us. Danny, welcome to Bot Radio Network and welcome to Memphis.
Well, it's so good to be here. And, you know, I'm just loving listening to you guys talk. But hearing that year, 1986, I was 9 years old.
Oh, my goodness. We are old, Tom.
Yeah. I'm after some sage the advice, kid. I'm just going to say,
well,
I'm open.
You are the second person from down under in the past week has been in the studio.
Oh, who did I miss?
Well, the last week we had Carl Carmody, who is with Challenge Good Newspaper. Mm-hmm. Do you know Carl?
No, I don't know.
Are you familiar
Carl.
With the Challenge?
No, I am now.
I mean, it's produced in Australia.
Wow.
Worldwide.
Wow.
You know, what's interesting,
wow.
Similar to what you do on audio and video, Carl does with newspaper all over the world.
Wow.
It's a great outreach. But anyway, we're here
amazing.
To kind of tie some strings together. I don't know, Tom.
Okay. But they may be pretty loose. We'll see.
Well, you moved from Memphis. You now live in
Southern Illinois.
Southern Illinois.
I actually live near Marion, Williamson County, Illinois. Yeah. Total difference because, you know, I'm a Memphis boy. I grew up here, and this is where my hometown. But I moved there, do radio, TV, still do radio there, Christian radio there every day. Been doing that for 20 years. And so, yeah, went on into doing business and doing other ministry and things like that. So it's been a long time, though.
Danny, as I mentioned Carl a moment ago, he's from Perth, Australia. Where are you from?
I'm from an hour south of Melbourne.
Okay.
So other side of the country from Carl. Yeah, a beautiful regional town called Geelong, which is actually the second largest regional town in the state of Victoria. So we're right on the gateway to the Surf Coast, which is just stunning. If you're familiar with
great
surfing,
white sharks.
Great white sharks.
Yeah,
and,
that's the place.
Yeah, it's very much like the Oregon coast, beautiful part of the world.
Oh, I know. I had a dream to go there one day when I was living in Guam. We were with ministry called TWR. And I got certified to dive there, and I thought, you know, the Great Barrier Reef is my next adventure. Never made it, but had some wonderful diving opportunities off of Guam and some of the Micronesian islands.
Wow.
But, you know, it looks like a common denominator between you two, besides media and ministry, is you like to pull pranks. You like practical jokes.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. We have some issues.
Well, I'm still in trouble from yesterday's road trip.
Yeah.
When Tom ended up with ice down his back. With
It's unique. I don't pull a prank, but every time we're traveling, my wife and I, and her mom's here, her husband's not here on this trip, but every time she and her mom, I don't know if this is a prank, but you guys don't know which side of the car to get in. They drive on the wrong side of the road.
We do.
They do.
He keeps having to corral us like a sheepdog.
No, he said the wrong side of the road.
Wrong side of the road. Yeah, because we drive on the right side. We really do.
Yeah, we really do. Yeah.
Yeah, and we do a lot of fun stuff. We enjoy what we do. And the other thing is, I refer to her as my sister from another mister.
And that's the big question. I mean, how does a girl from Australia meet an American guy and discover they want to do ministry together?
Yeah, that's the shocker.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, any ministry, especially when you're married, husbands and wives are just as much a part of it, even if they're not on camera or behind the microphone or doing the other ministries that we do, because we couldn't do it without
them.
What input do your spouses have in the work that you do?
We're a little bit more like twins.
We're more ADHD, you know, off on a whim, flying the kite, and they're like the even keels of
I call them the rudder.
Four of us. Yeah.
When you're flying a kite, if you're the kite, somebody has to hold the string.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. And that's what Mark does, and that's what my wife Vicky does. They hold the strings.
And you got to have some string holders.
Yeah.
And we have a great time together, all the four of us. We're missing Mark on this trip, but it's good.
Danny, give us some of your backstory. Grew up in Australia. Mm-hmm. What was life like for you?
Yeah, I'll give you it in a nutshell because it's a big, long story. But yeah, basically, I didn't grow up as a Christian. So my parents had me, and then when I was two, they divorced. And my mum and I went to live with my grandmother. When my parents both remarried and then had their own families, things started to really change for me. When I was about six, my dad came and collected me for an access visit. And I only saw him maybe twice a year between the time I was two and 6 years old. In the time that I'd seen him last, him and his new wife had given birth to my little baby sister. So I got to meet her for the first time. She was about 9 months at that stage. And they'd started going to church. So on the Sunday, they took me to church. I remember having communion. I remember feeling very safe there. When we got home, he sat me on his knee and told me all about my Father in Heaven who loves me, presented me with a beautiful big children's Bible. He'd gotten his pilot's license, so he'd picked me up in the aeroplane, flew me back in the plane, then had to get in the taxi to drive off. And I remember at that point where he was about to go home, back to the airport, and he was saying his goodbyes, and I remember just feeling like there was something really wrong. As a woman, we get that women's intuition. We kind of can pick up on things a lot, and I couldn't put my finger on it, you know, being so young, but I just remember feeling that, and so much so that I remember my eyes just being stuck on the taxi as it drove out of the driveway, down the road, around the corner and out of sight. And that was the last time I saw my dad again until I was 16. Wow. He just cut contact. That was the end of that. And then pretty soon afterwards, my stepdad and my mum had a son.
But it was your father, Danny, mm-hmm. who shared the gospel message mm-hmm. with you.
On the same day.
On the same day. But having seen him leave in all those years, I mean, did you have doubts that you could trust a heavenly father when your earthly father forsook you or left?
Yeah, look, in certain ways, and I think there's a little bit more to it. So with my stepdad, I'd gotten along with him really well. About 6 months after my dad had seen me last, my stepdad, I think, had realized that he wasn't going to be part of my life moving forward because he wasn't making contact and they couldn't get hold of them. And it seemed like overnight his attitude towards me changed and there was a resentment and he became very emotionally and sometimes physically abusive towards me to the point that at one time he told me to clean my room and I said, why should I? I cheeked him because I was copying my stepsister. And he called me a very, very bad swear word, cussed me out, grabbed me by the back of the hair and slammed my head into the wall and took the paint off. Another time, I was in the bathroom and he came and he was yelling at me and got so angry that he punched a fist through the wall and he would yell at me. And when I was doing my maths homework, telling me how stupid I was, that I would never amount to anything. At that point too, Mum went into a clinical depression, couldn't show affection. Would sit on the couch and just watch daytime soap operas. She'd basically have a marathon every afternoon with a bag of potato chips on the couch and zone out to Days of Our Lives and Young and the Restless and then Bold and the Beautiful. And
American.
Yeah.
Great influence.
And I remember one day just trying to cuddle her on the couch and she said, I've got to change a light globe. And I thought, wow, now I'm not even as important as a light globe. So from a very young age, I went from feeling very loved and accepted to losing both of my father figures and my mum. I started to become very confused because my stepdad would in public be very, he was an ambulance officer, so you know, he's very well respected in the community, but at home he was a tyrant. And then, you know, at other times he could be really lovely. And so I never really, I was always on eggshells. And that went on till I was about 14 when they split up. He was having affairs and all sorts of things. And Mum didn't know about it at the time, but I clued in and there was some things that I'd seen that weren't right. And I tried to tell her and she wasn't ready, I think, to accept it at that point.
Yes.
But the freedom when he left Byron was phenomenal. Just backtracking a little bit, probably a year or two after that time, I was at home one day and I came home from school and I said to my mum, oh, Mum, I know Santa's not real because Amy and Sarah at school told me. And she said, oh, don't say that, you won't get any presents. And I said, no, I know he's not real, I'm old enough. And she said, yeah, well, you're right, he's not real. And I started crying and I said, what about Easter Bunny. No, he's not real. What about the Tooth Fairy? No, not real either. And then I said, what about God? And she said something different. She said, well, I don't believe in God, but you have to make your own mind up about that one. And I remember even as a young child, for the first time realizing that my mum was actually wrong about something. And I had no reason to actually believe that that was any different from Santa or the Easter Bunny. But I just knew in my spirit, even though I hadn't been to church any more than once, or maybe Sunday school a couple of times with friends if I'd stayed over there, that it was just something that I knew was right and true. And I look back now and I think, wow, you had your hand on me in amongst all of the trauma and everything that came after that. And, you know, years after that, when I was about 14, around the time my step-parents had split up and my mum and all of that, and a friend had invited me to a church. I went along and I accepted Jesus, but she was only there on holiday, went back to Melbourne, and then I was on my own. But I'd written it in my English journal because I was so excited about finding Jesus for myself.
Yes.
And my teacher held me up after class and said, Danny, if you ever need to talk, I'm here. And by the way, I go to church, and if you'd like to come to my church, you can. So I started going to a Baptist church, got baptized. Yeah, that was kind of my journey through that.
And, wow.
You know, years later, I won't bore you with all the detail, but yeah, basically married a binge drinking alcoholic. We got through all of that, and then we lost our first baby. And then I went into very severe anxiety and depression, couldn't leave the house, couldn't drive the car, couldn't work. And then 18 months later, had another baby, and 18 months after that, started going to church and everything, and 18 months after that had our first call to ministry. And so God just did this quickening, and needless to say, I've come through many, many things, and that's just tip of the iceberg.
Isn't that what Jesus does best? Take the broken and the messed up, the hurts, habits, and hang-ups that we live with, and he just molds it through Christ for his glory.
But you know, Byron, here's the point of all of that.
Yeah.
The Bible shows us that so clearly. God does not hide anything from us about how messed up we make our lives. And we've only got to turn on the news to know that when humans rule, it's a mess, right?
Yes.
But Jesus isn't a mess. Jesus has got it together and he's on the throne. But the point is that everybody has a story.
Yes.
That every story matters. So at every opportunity that we get, whether we're talking to the checkout chick at the supermarket or whether we're doing what Tom and I do in media, you know, it's never about the platform. It's only about the vehicle for Jesus. We're just the messengers.
Yes.
And if we're not pointing to him, then sit down and shut up. Like honestly, do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, because I do.
Because the minute
it
becomes about us, it's dangerous and it's polluted. And
oh my goodness!
You know, and we don't do it all perfectly.
No. And Tom, I know that you came from a total different family totally life. Different.
She always says you're a straighty 180, right?
And straighty 180.
I was very blessed. We grew up in a Christian home, immersed in the Bible, immersed in everything, so blessed. Went to Mid-South Bible College for a short time, and then I got in radio and TV, and we worked back in the days of Christian radio with our buddy Don Alsup and all these other people. It just an amazing blessing. Went on into business, did a lot of things, got married, had 2.2 kids, everything going well. I look at that, and I'm like, that was a blessing. That was amazing. And then I get to be close to 40 years old, just wind up going through a divorce and never saw it coming, never saw it happening. As I say this now, I can say it now because my first wife, we're very good friends. Danny's been to her house and we sit on the couch. It's amazing how God has brought that together again. And then
even Vicky and Laura.
Yeah, my current wife, good friends with her. It's amazing. And that's part of the story. But the big thing, when that happened, I lost everything I had to the point of suicide, wanting to commit suicide. Tried twice. A lot of people didn't even know that. Didn't know what I was going through. Mm. Didn't know who to call. And part of the reason why I moved to Illinois is part of my advice to my dad, you need to start all over again. Very difficult. You went from here to down here. Lost my businesses. I had nowhere. It's like you lose your mind. And as a man, it's really difficult. Honestly, your self-worth, you find a lot of that in what you do.
Yeah.
So I went through that, but then it's like I started all over again. A lot of what was lost, I wouldn't say everything was restored in a different way. I prayed for restoration for a long time, set alone. You know, I did all those things that a good Christian person is supposed to do, and sincerely. And yeah, and it's God can do amazing things, but that didn't happen. What happened was, let me tell you about the Strady 180 that I learned about me. I remember one time reading in Scripture, reading the Lord's Prayer. You know all about that one, right? You know the verse after that? It says, the way you forgive others is the same way your Heavenly Father will forgive you. And that hit me between the eyes. This good Strady 180 did all this Christian radio stuff, did all these things in these churches, you know, had the pedigree. You know what I'm talking about. I realized that I had a problem with forgiveness. It was forgiving my ex-wife. That's where it all was rooted in. Mm. And went through a process with that, learned how to forgive her. That was amazing because got a call from her one day on that, and she asked for forgiveness. I remember saying to her, I think it was, you know, you remember what Joseph said to his brothers? You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. I look back also that there are many things that I could have done better. You learn, you mature, you understand. Yeah. And I have a passion now for people that have gone through that. But I learned forgiveness. But out of that, God's moved me in different directions, started all over again, met a wonderful woman, similar circumstances, blended family. She had two girls. I had a boy and a girl. It's amazing. At some point, they all came back to live with us. That was a zoo.
The Brady Bunch minus two.
Oh, man, yeah. It was just...
And here's so a story of a man named Thomas.
Yeah, so it was just... We did. It was amazing. But for me, seriously, it was just the side of it. Got them all, walked me down the road. And then that got me down to things, radio and TV and everything else again.
You guys produce a podcast called The Brave Conversations, featuring people that share the deepest and most vulnerable parts of their journey and really how they emerge stronger in a relationship with Jesus through that. You both have shared how you've been vulnerable too, you know, in life. You've seen how Jesus has made you stronger.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the podcast too, Byron, I think that's the thing. When I started that, it really came out of, I was doing speaking engagements, presenting in different capacities globally, and it was really interesting. Wherever I'd go when I was sharing messages, teaching, there was this whole thing of, Danny, thank you for being real. Thank you for being brave enough to share your story. This is what happened to me. And these people would open up and they kept using the same phrases. And I felt really, I guess, great about that. The fact that I was helping people to have a breakthrough and God was working and Holy Spirit was present. But I knew that to do that kind of a journey as far as actual healing, you need mentors, you need support services around you, you need good, solid Christian counsel. And I couldn't provide that for them. I wasn't in their country sometimes. I wasn't in their community. I didn't know what resources were there. You were really reliant on whoever was pastoring to do that. And pastors aren't qualified counselors either.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all have our specialties in Jesus. But it kind of made me feel like I was sometimes opening up, as much as there were breakthroughs, you know, cans of worms for people to, like, sort of leaving them to be open and raw and then not be able to do what they needed to do. So God led me to start a charity called Brave Enough. I got my counseling qualifications, wrote a book, tons of resources, you know, radio and television devotionals, all of those kinds of things to encourage people and help them through that. It was like, man, if I had a podcast and I could sit with people and not actually do it in the form of an interview, so to speak, but to actually just hold space for people and allow them to share their stories and what God's done for them and how they've gotten through that, but allow people to really be real and raw, like not be glossy about telling their story. I think that that would really help people, because that was one of the key things that helped me to heal.
Yeah.
I mean, what would the story of David or Joseph be without the mess before the message? I hope this isn't going too far, and if it is, feel free to edit it out. But I heard a story recently about this guy who grew this massive award-winning pumpkin. Like, it was as big as a house. You could have carved it out and made it a cubby house for the kids, right? And someone asked him, well, how do you grow your pumpkins that big? And he said, well, I give it, you know, however many huge amount of gallons of water a day and a whole heap of manure, tons of manure. And I'm going,
get that in your mind.
Isn't that like Jesus, the living water, and he provides the sunshine and all that? But we grow best when we are covered in
manure.
Right? And so.
And that's deep, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. But that's where, Yeah, I mean, the extra nutrients come into the soil and that stuff that, even though it stinks.
I went to do some radio interviews in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at Sight and Sound.
Wow.
And that is the Amish country. And it was during their fertilizing the ground, and they used natural fertilizer, and the smell was everywhere. It really stands out to me now. It really does.
That's it. But what happens? What happens then? The fruit grows big, and it gets washed off. It's nourishing to those who partake of it. And you think about that then, like a pumpkin, right? One seed went into the ground and grew that pumpkin. You cut that pumpkin open and there are hundreds of seeds.
Yes.
And within those hundreds of seeds, hundreds of pumpkins upon hundreds of pumpkins. Wow. And God's like that with fruit. You know, if we're faithful with that one seed and we put it in a dark place in the ground and we give it some love and some sunshine and we let God tend it, it shoots up and it fruits, and the fruit is endless.
Yes.
And that's us.
That's us.
But we've got to allow ourselves to be buried. We've got to allow those things to die with Jesus for the fruit to come.
Amen. Danny, what a great word. The Brave Conversations podcast is just really one example of your tag team projects. I see that you're launching something brand new, Rock Your Podcast, to help aspiring podcasters bring their dreams to reality. And so this is something brand new, right? It hasn't even officially been launched yet.
No. We're filming it
right now. We're in the middle of it. And that's what she's here right now. We're doing that.
We do have a website with a wait list, though.
Yeah, we have that. I think the thing, maybe we could describe this really simply. It's kind of the process we went through and a little bit about what we went through to learn how we do. We're both backgrounds in radio and television. That was simple for us. And then we went on this journey, spent about 3 years, I just say right about 3 years, developing the podcast, how to do it.
Yeah.
Because
I was already doing the podcast and then I asked Tom to voice it, like my intros. And then I thought, man, Tom's so on the same page. And if we had a male joining me on the podcast, then it opens up the whole audience, right? Because then you've got a male and female perspective, and it just worked.
Well, the podcast industry has seen a major shift in popularity in 2023, and multiple studies point towards a more engaging 2024. Over 414 million podcasts are there globally, totaling 504 million listeners. Now, there's definitely significant growth based on those stats. How do I know if podcasting is right for me? Should I or should I not do a podcast?
In this thing we're talking about, I think we talked the other day, we're talking about it's narrowcasting, not broadcasting.
Yeah.
You may have a passion niche. Maybe you have a calling. God wants you to do something. It can be your own church. It can be anything. It's something that you are able to do, and it's an amazing world. We like to call it new media. Even in this series we're doing, we're trying to teach people, okay, here's how you do it, kind of step by step. We'll get in a little bit of the techno nerd stuff about microphones and the things you need. But part of it, you know, your passion, your purpose, planning, what you're doing even here.
Right.
It's, you know, this doesn't just happen because Byron walks in here.
And I think, too, some folks get excited about the idea of doing it, but don't realize what it takes
to do this.
And the commitment and the effort it takes to keep going either weekly, even if you do a monthly podcast. Yeah. But I mean, you know, this show I do is produced here on the radio 3 times a week. So I've got to get different guests. You know, I do all the editing, production, social media posts for that. And of course, then it gets sent out to all the podcast platforms. It's a lot more to it than a lot of folks realize.
Yeah. And I think it too, it depends on your format too.
Yeah.
It, you know, do you have guests or are you talking about a particular topic that you can talk on your own? Like if you're doing a solo podcast, a lot of people do that. Or if they're doing a tech podcast, they might have something that they're demonstrating as a video podcast as they're talking. We break it down step by step. It's all done on video. They also have a workbook.
Is it 12 weeks? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's 12.
Well, 12 modules. So if people wanted to go through that and binge on it and do it in 6 days or something, they probably could.
Well, somebody listening right now that it wants to connect with you guys, they're thinking about doing a podcast or interested in rocking their podcast, or maybe somebody is listening that something we said about our life in Christ has really touched their heart and they'd like to know more. They have questions. How can they connect with you?
In relation to podcasting, you can head to rockyourpodcast.com. If you're wanting some help with, I guess, life and issues, you're more than welcome to head over to braveenough.org and you'll find a lot of resources there. And if you'd like to get in touch personally, Tom, you'd be manvoice@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, Danny@dannysinnott.com.
Tom, this has been great bringing Danny, your friend, here to Memphis, here on the Bot Radio Network on Mid-South Viewpoint. I've had a great time to meet you, Danny. Thanks so much for being vulnerable with our listeners, and Tom, you too, sharing your hearts and just really how God takes the mess of our life and makes it something beautiful for Him to use. Like you said earlier, Danny, when we were starting our show today, if it's not for Him, why are we doing it? Let's shut up, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's got to be Jesus. It's all about Him. I'm so glad that He's brought us together in this space here to share about the great things that He can do in our lives and has done in our lives and wants to do in our listeners' lives, wherever they might be right now, stuck in an addiction, having a difficulty in a relationship. No matter where you are, you can find some answers in Christ. And a journey with Christ can take you places you never imagined you would ever go. God bless both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Yeah. There's no other way to sign off in Memphis, is there?
No. All right. Well, friends, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Thanks for stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Byron has left the building.
If you would like to listen to today's show again, go to botradionetwork.com and look for Mid-South Viewpoint under the broadcast tab. The show is also available on your favorite podcast platforms. Some shows have video of the interviews as well and can be viewed at Byron Tyler Radio on YouTube or on our Bot Radio Network mobile app.